Welcome to the Round 3 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus, and I'm joined this week by Bryce.
G'day, everyone. How's it going?
And we've got CJ back with us for the first time in 2019. Welcome back, CJ.
Hey, folks.
Big week this week, gents. The pre-price change round tends to have a lot of people double trading. It's rare that you find somebody who passes on making a trade this week. Before we get into some questions for the week, let's just go around and share how we went on the weekend. CJ, why don't you kick us off, mate?
So I had a relatively okay week. I scored 2,256. A lot of points on the pine. Guys like Burgess, Parker, Collins all sitting on my bench hurt. I am currently ranked just outside the top 14,000. So middling effort, but holding steady, calling it not a disaster to start the year.
Bryce, how about yourself, mate? How was your weekend? Did you manage to beat CJ there?
I had a pretty good start again this week. I scored 22.78. Largely, I was able to have Butters as an emergency on my mid-bench, and I used Bewley to loophole his score under the field, which meant that I could bench Bailey Scott, so I managed to avoid that low score. So that was probably the difference of about 50 or 60 points to my score this week. So that's turned out to be a good outcome for my team. I also had the VC on Rocky, as recommended by you last week, Marcus. He was going pretty well at halftime. I think he had about 90 at that point, and then he kind of slowed up. I already had deployed the C loophole at that point, but luckily changed my plan at the last minute, chose to gamble on Fife for a stressful extra 8 points to my score between Rockcliffe and Fife. So it was worth it. It's probably worth about 1,000 spots at this point of the season. So I managed to go up in ranking by about 8,000 places to 3,463. So it's probably the best start I've had to a Supercoach season. So looking forward to it continuing on.
Nice one, mate. The loophole definitely helped in the early rounds, you being able to snag a few extra points every single week. So that's paying dividends, which is good. I managed to top score this week after being last week by a fair margin. So thank the Lord. I needed 124 on the nose from Fife, and that's exactly what he delivered. And that gave me a score of 2,300. So nice even number, thanks to Fife. That pushed me up, I think, 40,000 spots in the ranking. So I'm up to 20K now. Still believe that I'm behind both of you gents and Mark as well. So a tad disappointing. I was beating Mark until Colin scored 86 with a massive last quarter. So I'm a bit upset about that, especially because I put Collins on the bench this week. But happy to have bounced back after – I've never been ranked 60,000 before. So after that start, I was very happy and relieved to be out of there. Having 137 with Brody Grundy as the VC definitely helped out as well. And I'm sure a lot of coaches relieved that Gorn and Grundy bounced back, especially because a lot of the other ruck options, including Goldstein, fell off the cliff a little bit. In terms of a quick public group update, our Supercoach Coach group leader at the moment is Blue Stompers, who scored 23.90 on the weekend, placing him in the top 100. He's sitting 68th, so well done to Blue Stompers. And an update on our Patreon group, we've got a new top round scorer after Juddenaut notched up 23.89. So he's now in the front running spot to win that $100 highest round score by the end of the season. And in terms of our overall leader, Andrew, with his team, The Banker, moved into first at 633rd. So he's currently in line for our $250 group prize. All right, gents, let's get into some questions. We'll start off with the rookies. And this first question here is from Lawrence Kim, one of our patrons. And he's asking for our thoughts on LDU, who's at 197K. He scored well in his first two games, even though there were losses. He's expensively priced, so you'd hope to get him on field if you were to bring a bloke like that on. But Lawrence is thinking about downgrading from one of his mid prices. What are your thoughts? Have you considered him at all, Bryce?
The first thing I started to look at was the cash that he might generate if he continued his scoring at his current average, which is about 83.5 exactly. So he'll make 61K in his first week if he continues that scoring of 84. And then if he does continue, and we rate that he will continue that score, he looks to accumulate cash generation of about 160K at the start of round 7, and at the start of round 10, about 200K. So as far as the boxes that need to be ticked for a rookie cash generator, he certainly does that at that average. The question is, does he continue to take that into account? The other consideration to make is there another rooking which is scoring about the similar points, or maybe a bit less, but is generating about the same cash as well? So, for example, if you don't have Constable in your team who is averaging at about 85, if he continues that average, he'll make about 82K off the one game, and he'll make a total of 270K approximately by the start of round 7. So if you're trying to weigh up who you might downgrade to, LDU or Constable seems to be the obvious choice. He's scoring about the same. Because he's cheaper, he'll actually generate a bit more cash. So all of those factors, I guess, need to be considered before you'd actually choose to go for a more expensive rookie. But I think there are some cases that you would want to consider it, and it's actually a positive move for your team. What do you think, gents? Is that overthinking it, or is that good data?
Fairly valid points there. I think the main issue I have with LDU is he's available as a midfield rookie, and there's a lot of midfield rookies that are kind of already putting up good numbers, and there's a bit of a logjam already in the midfield. I know I was talking to Marcus earlier about restructuring to potentially try and get a guy like Constable on field. Trading in someone like LDU, you already have guys like Butters you want to have on field. You've got Walsh, who I think everyone is going to be playing on field. Where's the third rookie you're playing on field? If you're going to spend 180K for a guy, you want him to be on the field, and I'd rather just have Constable, I think.
Yeah, I think Libba and Rockliff make the equation a bit tougher. A lot of people are looking at those two. And, I mean, you've still got Brad Crouch and Dom Sheed, who have probably done enough to be in the same conversation as well. Now, between bringing in a mid-pricer who you think is on a premium run versus taking a risk on a 197K rookie, it's just a really tough choice to go with LDU. It's more due to congestion than anything else, because when you hear Scott talk about him, they rate him very highly, and they've clearly given him the mandate to perform in an inside mid role, and there's very few rookies who are getting that same opportunity elsewhere in other teams. So I don't hate the pick, but it's got to work for you structurally. So you can use the cash effectively elsewhere. That's where I'd be the most tempted. If you were much more confident that he would average more than Constable over the distance, I mean, he's probably the one that you'd most likely compare to. We've got another question about another rookie. This one's from Roland Chong on Facebook. And he's asking whether Matt Parker is a must-have. And he's thinking, you know, might trade a Bolter or Hoare out to make room for him. Now, he's definitely surprised. 87 and 89 off his first two games. I don't think anybody who picked him was that confident, picking a small forward for St Kilda. They have won their first two games, which may surprise some as a first two round form for the Saints. So that definitely factors into the equation. But the Saints are playing Frio this week as well, and you've got to think they're a decent chance against them as well after Frio lost to Gold Coast at the last minute, and Saints have beaten Gold Coast. Is he a must-have?
I wouldn't say a must-have, but I think if you have a non-playing guy like Bolter or Hoare, obviously pending team sheets, I'd be pretty interested in bringing him in. He managed to score, 89 off 11 touches and one goal last week, which is pretty good kind of points to touches.
I think the previous week was pretty similar. He didn't have a lot of it either.
Yeah, he seems to be a guy who I'm sure at some point we'll probably drop a really, really garbage score. It'll probably be this week when everyone puts him on field. But he seems like a guy who, if you have a non-playing rookie, he'd be my first forward line trading rookie option for sure.
Yeah, I've been thinking about Parker. He's one that I actually missed in my starting side. I've got Burgess and Petrocelli in my forward line at the moment, so I've been considering the merits of side-swapping one of those blokes to Parker. One of the considerations that I've been making is that the first two games were against easier opponents, and he's a small forward who seems to or doesn't rely on goals for his points, but there's a danger that in the tougher games that he might score less, more around the 60 mark. That actually still makes him a pretty good pick, but I don't think that I would expect him to continuing averaging around the high 80s mark. So I see him more the 60-70. So as far as trading him out for a playing rookie such as Petrocelli, it's probably something that I'm going to pass up on. If Petrocelli continues to average around the 55 mark, he's still going to make 110K by about round seven. If you compare that to a Parker scoring 60s, we'll make about 150. So is that 40K extra worth the side swap trade of a rookie when they might actually be starting to score similar? These guys aren't going to be on your field, so that extra scoring between the two might not matter too much. So at this stage, it's a no for me for side swapping, so not a must have. But if you've got a non-playing rookie, I think that's where you'd probably make the move. So I think responding to the question, I'd probably make that move Bolter or Hoare to Parker if they're not named.
Yeah, and that takes us to the next question, which is from Graham Bennett, one of our patrons, and he's asking, who are the must-have rookies? Now, considering a lot of us have got most of our rookies right, and we're mostly talking about a Bolter or Hoare, I don't know if there are many rookies that I would sideswap or manufacture a trade from a playing rookie to, or downgrade from a premium to, outside of maybe Drew?
Drew is the only one I would say is a must-have rookie. Drew is the only guy that I would trade for. He's available in the forward line. He's going to be on field for you, I think. Other than that, I don't think there's a must-have rookie this season. There's no Tim Kelly type.
So it sounds like the general advice is trade according to your team's specific needs. But outside of Drew, really, it'd be tough to recommend the rookie that is worth burning a trade on if you've got the rest of your rookies or mid-prices for that matter, right? Now, let's move on to some other correction trades. We've got a fair few to get through, so a lot of popular picks frustrating some owners here. The first one is Daniel Triggle's question from Facebook. Why did I pick Mills and who do we move him on for? Now, I know CJ's got Mills. You don't, do you?
No, I didn't follow a pre-season hype on Mills and, managed to avoid him. But if I did have him, I'd strongly consider that he hasn't worked out and look to upgrade him to one of the premium defenders or do some type of DPP magic to bring in someone at that price, maybe a Rockcliffe in the midfield, and then you can join the Rocky fan club if you've got the DPP to do it.
What do you reckon you'll do, CJ?
Look, I'm going to throw Mark under the bus here. Mills is entirely in yes! my team because Mark pushed me over the edge. I was considering him or Brody Smith all preseason. I had a little bit of spare cash. Mark talked me into him. This is Mark's fault.
Yes. Agreed.
Sorry, Mark. He's absolutely gone this week. I watched the Sydney game with a fair bit of interest. He's just not getting the role that we thought he was going to get this year. That's fine. I'm happy to burn a corrective trade on it. The guy I really want in my team also plays for Sydney, Seagull Lloyd. just watching him, he racks up stats so easily. There are so many cheap kicks that he gets. He is just everywhere. He's hungry for the ball. He represents one ultra premium that isn't log jammed in the midfield, which I think is really, really important.
Yeah.
I'm looking this week very hard at finding an extra 200K so I can go Mills up. Fortunately, I have a few other issues in my team. So I think that's what's probably going to happen. But if you have the coin, Lloyd is definitely the guy I'd go to. If you don't, I think downgrading to either Brody Smith or potentially Harry Taylor are probably the two easiest and safest bets there. They don't compromise your structure. Don't bring any more rookies on field. The main issue I have with trading him out to a guy like Rocky is all of a sudden it brings an extra backline rookie onto your field, which looking at the scoring of some of the mid rookies like Constable, Butters,
like if Walsh, anything, you should be doing the opposite.
Yeah, you should be doing the opposite. Like I'm looking at my team really hard, trying to get more midfield rookies on field and more backline rookies off. So trading him to a Rockliffe or Sheed really is a little bit counterintuitive to me. I think going down to Smith or going down to Harry Taylor is probably the safest bet. And if you can get to Lloyd, that would be my preferred choice. Whitfield as well, if you don't have him, I think is another very good pick.
Yep, definitely agree with that. I think we did the actually Patreon bonus show early this week and I recorded that with Mark yesterday. He ended up not trading last week and he said one was a win in merit, but the second one was Mills that he should have actually moved on earlier. And he, of all the blokes that we're going to talk about for the rest of this show, in terms of potential trade out, seems the most obvious. So let's move on to the next question. This one's from Fozzie Wolf from Facebook. And he says that one of us should argue why he should keep Dusty while the other should argue why he should trade Dusty. Now, let's just quickly go around. Is anyone tempted to say keep Dusty?
I would trade him if it was me, solely for restructuring purposes. But fortunately, I don't have him, so that's easy to say if he's not in my team.
Well, I have Dusty, so maybe I'll pretend maybe why you should keep Dusty trade then because things got really quiet really quickly. Now, I reckon that a 66, although poor, happens in a week where Richmond basically just did not get to touch the ball. I've not seen such a one-sided Supercoach game potentially ever. The top scorer was like 87 for Richmond, and there was like maybe 10 other players from Collingwood who scored more than that. They were just playing keepings off. Richmond could not cope. And Dusty actually had a really, really good start the first half and then just absolutely died in the arse when Collingwood stamped their authority on the game. Dusty is averaged 103.8 last year. So the worst that he does, like I don't see him dropping really below 100. He's kind of tread water. He's a round 14 buy player. So if you keep him until round 14 and he doesn't work out, you can side swap him around the buys and swap to a player that's buy free. So you can try and manufacture a beneficial trade down the track. Richmond also not going to lose every week. They lost to Collingwood, and there are not many teams that would consider themselves favourites against Richmond, even though GWS are starting hot favourites against Richmond this week. So I think there are a few reasons. It's easy to get caught up when you look at his average being 87.5 and go, I need to trade this bloke out yesterday. But he was the best player in the game comfortably only two short years ago. Last year struggled apparently with some mental health issues on top of some physical issues. This year has apparently gained some perspective and has had a better injury-free preseason. That's about as strong a picture I can paint because I'm having said all that, I am still sneakily considering trading him out. Bryce, where do you sit on it?
I think it's a real 50-50 call to make. I think that you make a good point, Marcus, about the what you've paid for him and what that price at average is. It's around the 103. So I don't see that he would be too far under. So basically, I think you'll get what you're paying for. And if you want to hold him for a few more weeks just to see how he trends, he's got a reasonable fixture after having a tough game against Collingwood. Middle of the road teams for the next kind of four rounds, and then he has the Bulldogs, Frio, Hawthorn, Essendon, North Melbourne, and Geelong, and then Adelaide leading up to his bye. So the thing that if you trade him out now, those two scores that you've already had him in your team for are on your total score already. So if you trade him out now, and then he starts to go on a run, they're not actually going to be in the scores that you've received for Dusty. And then if you jump back on later, you've actually missed those scores. So you pick kind of Dusty as a premium to keep him for the season. So in order to kind of achieve that 105 average, you need to hold him for a period of time where he is averaging the 105. And I see that he will go around that mark for half the season or the whole season. So I'm probably more favoured to actually holding Dusty at this point rather than trading. But it depends on who you've got in mind to trade him to as the other part of the equation.
I was not expecting that.
I'm going to come out and
go completely
the other way.
Here we go.
I think midfield spots right now are the most valuable spot on the ground. Everybody who has Constable at the moment is struggling to get him on field. If you would much rather have Constable on field than the lottery that is like Clarks, Grimshaw, Butters, Collins in the back line, I think trading out Dusty gives you the flexibility to restructure your midfield to get a better rookie on field and trade in someone to shore up either your back line or your forward line where the rookies are much more erratic and not performing in the same way. Dusty is priced to average at 105. Ask yourself, would you be happy with a 105 averaging player in your midfield for the whole year? I don't think you would. Like 105 is a premium keeper anywhere else on the ground. In the midfield, it's underperforming. Dusty for me is probably a guy I'd be trading solely so you can get a guy like Constable on field and restructure your back line, bring in a guy like Lloyd.
So there you go, Fozzie. I don't know if that helps you make a decision at all.
But he wanted the two views, didn't he?
Let's move to the next one. Matthew Donnelly's asking what to do with Heaney. Now, he's got to be the most talked about player. What do we do with Isaac Heaney? All of a sudden, from having the best preseason ever, first time he's completed a full preseason, to his ankle is seeing him not be able to train for the entirety of the week. He's gone from the bona fide locked in F2 to now needing a correction trade 2 weeks in. I was not expecting this, and I'm sure everybody else is in the same boat. 67 this week off the back of an 85 last week. It's bad news bears at the moment, but they do play Carlton this week, and I think they've got Gold Coast 2 weeks after that. So there's a little bit of light at the end or midway through the tunnel if you stay through it. What do you do? What do you reckon, Bryce?
Yeah, I was wondering who you're going to throw under the bus first. This has been eating away at me since the weekend, like it has for a lot of super coaches. So this is the enlightening moment where I tell you exactly what you should do, and you have certainty for the rest of the season that was the right choice. I think in reality, we don't actually know what is going to be the right decision here until we get to the end of the season. For me, it is a real 50-50 call. I was leaning strongly towards a hold of Heaney. The thing that I was looking at post round two was Sydney have had two losses, and in his history, in particular last year, Sydney had eight losses, and in those losses he averaged 84. In the wins that Sydney had, which were 14, he averaged 103. So he had a 20-point differential between his losses and his wins. Another thing that I looked at was his disposals. In games where he averaged more than 20 disposals, he averaged a score of 102. In games where he averaged less than 20 disposals, of which he had seven, he averaged 84. So the first two games, he actually averaged less than 20 disposals. So his scoring seems to be impacted by his role, which seems to be impacted by his injury. If he didn't have his injury, then I'd be leaning more towards hold him. But the injury part of it has really got me thinking about whether I want to continue to hold him, and that he's scoring around the average that he's scoring at the moment at the 76. At this point in time, I don't actually know what I'm going to do. I think Horse actually said he was going to train early this week, and he's going to see how he's going to be performing towards the end of the week. The ideal situation is that he doesn't get named this week and we can all trade him. That would make the decision easier for us, but might not be better in the long term. I'm a pretty conservative player as well, so generally hold my premiums. Strongly considering actually trading him at this point in the week.
I think for me, Heaney is going to be traded out, mostly so I can go Mills to Lloyd, because I am pretty much dead set on getting Lloyd into my back line.
Two Sydney blokes out for one Sydney bloke.
Seems to work for me. I just picked the wrong Sydney bloke.
I think Lloyd outscored the two of them combined on the weekend.
So obviously, I'm making the right move. Like, I watched the Sydney game with a fair bit of interest. He played in the midfield in the second quarter, got a lot of the ball, won clearances. Sydney started winning the game. He was then thrown forward again for the last two quarters, which to me, really screams an issue with his body or his management. I don't think it's horses deliberately playing him in the forward line. I think it's playing him there because he's worried he will break him if he plays in the midfield the whole time, which for me says probably a good option to trade him out now.
I'm leaning toward trading him out. Both of you didn't paint very great pictures there. It's only skewed my decision even more, but I've pivoted back and forth a little bit, so it's really hard to say where I'll land. But they're winless after two rounds. I'll be against, you know, Western Bulldogs and Adelaide, who were tipped to move up from their finishing sort of spots last year, but it's not like they played a Collingwood, a Richmond. Tempted to trade him out at the moment. The other sort of question that we got was whether or not Dunkley is the bloke to go instead of Heaney for those that have Dunkley. That was a question from at CripsTonightSC from Twitter. Now, I have both. What are your thoughts on Dunkley, Bryce?
Yeah, I'm actually still pretty big on Dunkley. I think I've got both as well, Dunkley and Heaney. If I was going to trade one out at this point, it probably would be Heaney. I think going into the season, Dunkley, we suspected he might have different roles in different games. It's the moving the markers around the whiteboard from the coach. At the moment, Libba had a good game in the midfield. Game one, Dunkley was in there along with Bont. What's going to happen in game 3, 4, and 5? I think I'm happy to ride out the season when he's in the midfield and he's scoring well. He's scoring really well, so that's going to balance the low scores and the high scores. Last season, he basically played two kind of halves of the season. The first half he was more forward. In the second half he was midfield, and he still managed to average 95. And I see that's probably going to be similar in this season as well. So I'm going to see it out for a bit longer, and hopefully those high scores will come with the magnet changes.
Yeah, look, I had watched Dunkley pretty closely on the weekend, and for those who were saying, oh, roles are concerned, he was playing up forward. Let me assure you that Dunkley was in the back line multiple times as a midfielder towards the end of the game. For those patrons who listen to the Patreon show I recorded with Mark, he had the ball kicked over him multiple times, or he lost contests where he was a 50-50 on, and if he converted even half of those, we'd be talking premium-ish numbers. So for anyone who's worried about role, I'd question about, honestly, like whether or not they watched much of the game, because it would have been a pretty different game from what I'm saying. I was very concerned about his score halfway through, and I tuned on and I was watching him very intently. I almost didn't catch what actually happened in the game. We always knew Dunkley was a risk, and he is, because I think, as we've seen, the top four mids in their team are now Libba, McRae, Bontempelli, and Wallace. And then Dunkley's probably number five after that, right? So acknowledge that, but that doesn't mean he can't still average the 95 in there. Let's move into the potential trade-ins now. And this first one is from at BenTabTabTab on Twitter. You're recording the hashtag SEC RockyCast tomorrow. I'm pretty sure this hashtag is thanks to yourself, Russ. He has priority 1A. Am I wrong too? Now, we won't start with Bryce.
I might be biased.
We know what the answer will be. CJ?
I have Rocky. I started him this year. And the reason I started him is because this Boo. Is exactly why I didn't start him. Was because I was fully expecting Rocky to come out of the gates, pump out two good scores, and me just be sitting at the end of round two going, gee, I want this guy in my team, but I don't know whether I really want to risk it. I am fully expecting to burn a trade trading Rocky out some point through this year for injury. I'm just hoping it comes as late in the season as possible. I am kind of the opinion that if you wanted Rocky, you probably should have started him. Kind of the same argument with a guy like Fife, who's really injury prone. If you do have someone who is underperforming in the midfield, potentially a Dustin Martin type, but there really aren't many underperforming midfielders. I think this is why I said trade out Dusty, is there really aren't too many guys who've really underperformed heavily in the midfield that people have. He's really hard to get in. If you have five performing midfielders, he's taking a rookie spot. So does that mean you're no longer playing a Walsh or a Butters or a Constable on field? I think the risks involved in trading in Rocky are actually probably a bit too high for me. I'm very happy I have him in, but I kind of think that if you wanted him, you probably should have started the season with him, which is, I mean, obviously terrible to hear, but that's kind of where I sit on it. I think the risk that you are trading into is probably a little bit too high. I think you just have to kind of hope that, you know, as unfortunate as it is, he does get injured sooner rather than later.
Yes. Bryce, how about you, mate?
Yeah, I think that's some pretty good points by CJ. I mean, I went through similar considerations pre-season in that if I was going to have Rocky, that I wanted to start with him because if he went on a hot streak early, I'd want to get him in because we all want Rocky and that's how he burns you. You don't start him because you're unsure of the risk and then he scores well and you bring him in and then 2 weeks later he gets injured or goes to the forward line. Or we know what's going to happen here, and that's why I started him. But that's what you risk if you trade him in. You burn a trade to potentially downgrade a primo that will be a primo at the end of the year, but it's underperforming. You bring him in, and then you burn another trade when he gets injured. So I think that if you don't have a big problem to fix in the midfield, I don't think that there's any huge ones there. It would be hard to justify bringing in a guy that has risk associated with it. That said, Rocky could go through the whole season. He could average 130, be Rocky of old, and the fan club will just keep growing.
Oh, God, why do you have to end with that? yeah, look, I think the call-outs that you guys made were pretty sound. I'm pretty much resigned to not having him. They've got Wine supposedly coming back this week. Sam Gray's not too far off as well. And their run is pretty terrible up to round 8. You've got Brisbane, who are performing better than most people would expect this coming round. Then you've got 3 of the top 4 contenders in Richmond, West Coast, and Collingwood in rounds 4, 5, and 7. There's brief respite in round 6 with North, and then round 8, you've got Adelaide. So I'm hoping that the tough run of form will rein him in a little bit. I think enough on Rocky now. Let's move to the next question. This one's from at the SC Bull asking about Boak the Tim Kelly. What do you reckon, gents?
Absolute jet. I would really like to get Tim Kelly in my team. I think all the question marks about whether or not he was going to spend time in the midfield have been completely answered. He seems to be playing more midfield minutes than he was last year, particularly with Menegola being a little bit underdone. Tim Kelly, to me, screams top 6 forward. And if you were thinking of a corrective trade for, say, someone like a Heaney, Tim Kelly is really high on my list of priorities to bring in.
I think I like both options, both and Kelly. The only way that I'd consider bringing in one of these guys is if I had a problem to fix, and there happens to be a Heaney problem in the forward line at the moment. As far as who I'd be more likely to bring in, I think there's less question marks around Kelly's role in the midfield versus Boak's role. Boak has, like Marcus mentioned, for the Rocky case, Wines coming back in and Sam Gray, which could affect Boak potentially. He's of the midfielders, he's maybe the most likely to go forward, but it might depend on fitness levels of all the players. That said, Hinkley did say at the start of the season that Boak was set for a season of midfield, and he seems to be really fit for that role. So slightly have Kelly ahead of Boak because of the question marks around Wine's return, but I think they could both work out to be good corrective trades in the long run.
Yep, I agree with that. All right, let's move to overrated versus underrated now. This first one is from Jesse Turner, one of our patrons, and he's asking for thoughts on Warple. Now, probably moved back in consideration a bit because most are looking at Boak and Kelly instead. But Warple, overrated, underrated?
I certainly underrated him in the preseason. I didn't think that a player, he's probably only played under 10 games for the Hawks. I didn't see him becoming a premium forward in his second season. He's really come out of the blocks fast with a 110 and a 92. I still think that he's a little bit underrated for his price. Like you said, if we didn't have the Boak and Kelly options, we'd probably be looking at him a bit more seriously. I think there's a bit more safety with the Boak and Kelly options. Warple might come down to the pack a little bit and not quite be a top 6-8 forward. And really at that price at 395, that's what we need him to be. So I think he's underrated, but he's certainly surprised me.
The first thing I want to say is I was corrected by a Hawthorn supporter yesterday. He's not called Warple. He's the Warpedo. But for me, the main question I have is, how does Chad Wingard's return affect his role? Scully coming back earlier than expected is obviously a huge boon for Hawthorn Football Club, as much as I dislike them. But I think at 400K, he absolutely has to be a keeper. And I feel like there's just a couple too many question marks over his role and just two guys ahead of him in terms of the guys we just discussed, Boak and Kelly, who I'd prefer to bring in. If you're really scraping to just get someone just over the line, then I would definitely consider him. But I think there's enough reasons or enough question marks not to pick him at essentially like close to fully priced that I feel like he'd probably pass him at this stage.
Yeah, I've underrated him. I think in general people have overrated him, so that gives me an appropriate rating, especially because he's behind Boak and Kelly. Next guy, Dom Sheed. Now, he's been forgotten due to Rocky. Overrated, underrated, Bryce?
Rocky's just overshadowed Sheed a little bit over the first couple of games. They're averaging similar. I think that he could definitely turn out to be a top eight. Midfield certainly surprised me. There was a bit of JLT hype, which overrated him, but he's turned out to be a fairly underrated pick, and I think he's a pretty good one. So maybe he's appropriately rated. I'm not sure how the scales are working, but I think he's a good pick as well as Rocky.
I think he absolutely could turn out to be a top 20 mid. He could very comfortably average 110 and be a very happy M8 for you. If you started him, you'd be absolutely ecstatic. I don't think I'd bring him in this week unless you had a really obvious reason to, like a player you really wanted to trade out. I also think I'd probably be a little bit more interested in bringing him in over Rocky, solely just due to durability. I think he's a very good player. He plays a game style that's very well suited to Supercoach. Absolutely racks it up. He's playing in a team that is going to challenge for the number one spot this year. So I think he's a very good pick. I just feel like he's squeezed out a little bit by how tight those midfield spots are at the moment.
Yep. In Supercoach terms, slightly overrated to me. Very tough to get that sort of pick profile right, even though he could prove me wrong, and that's definitely a risk. My punt has been no, and that's why he's not in my team. All right, let's move on to some captaincy options now. Have either of you gents had a quick squiz at what you might be considering?
I guess Heaney's been occupying most of my headspace the last couple of days. That captaincy is the last thing I get a chance to look at. But I have noticed that the West Coast Ruckman Bynes is playing on the Saturday night, so there's about four games to choose a vice-captain from. The options that I like the look of there, we've got the Matt Crouch v Danger matchup on the Thursday night, which both of them could be pretty good options. I think that has a pretty good record at Adelaide Oval and against the Crows, so he seems like a pretty standard VC choice. I don't mind Oliver if you have him versus the Bombers, and also his Ruckman Gorn. I think they could be a couple of really big scores in that particular game. And they're probably the VCs that I do like. I haven't chosen one yet, but backed up by a Nathan Fife against St Kilda at Optus Stadium, which he has a very good record at over the last 12 months. It's how long it's been open for. So, yeah, probably looking at Danger into Fife at this stage.
I think that's a pretty safe bet. I think pretty much everybody is going to have the V on Danger. He kills it every time he plays against Adelaide. C's for me are probably McRae. Fife is the kind of guy I really wish would stop playing on Sunday. Fife's the guy I want to put a V on every single week because he's likely to score 150 and then occasionally he's going to score a 60. I just feel much more comfortable with the C on McRae. I feel like I can bank a solid 125 and just take it to the bank. So for me, Danger into McRae.
Yeah, Danger would be very, very hard to pass up. 149, 142, 158. When you've scored 142 as a minimum in your last three against a team, that's pretty damn good. Gorn, if you were not going with Dangerfield, would be a decent VC as well, 150, 168. I think I would struggle to pick him as a captain option just because he's already burnt me once this year. And so, yeah, Jackson McRae, I think, is a great option. As CJ's already mentioned, would be my next bet. He He's had three scores above 150 in his last five games against the Gold Coast, which is that's pretty incredible, including a 189. So don't need much more convincing than that. The other one, Bontempelli, he's in ripping form at the moment and has a 121 and 142 in his most recent three against Gold Coast. So he might be a sneaky choice as well. All right, gents, thanks very much for the show. If I can get a quick scoring on Nick Newman, I thought I was going to pass on him, but he is averaging 108. So I thought let's finish on him. Overrated, underrated, Nick Newman to sign us off for the week.
Jeez. I think that he could turn out to be a good pick if you have a problem to fix, but at the moment I'm not sure I'd be trading into him. Is he overrated or underrated? He's probably about appropriately rated. I think in the preseason there's a bit of hype around him, but his scoring so far has been pretty good. So, yeah, let's go with appropriately rated because I like to sit on the fence.
Fair enough. I'm going to say after week one, overrated. After last week, underrated.
I think that makes him appropriately rated.
I think he's still probably a little bit overrated. The main knock I have on him is his consistency. He showed a lot in the last few seasons that he can bang out big numbers. That's not a problem for Nick Newman. The problem is the games where he goes missing and scores 60. I think he is very likely to finish the year probably in the top eight defenders. And I think at under 400K, if you want someone to go Mills down to, I really don't hate it, particularly if you already have a Brodie Smith. Someone has to take the points that that kind of Cade Simpson, Sam Doherty rebounding defender role has in Carlton. I think he's likely to do it, not necessarily on a weekly basis, but there'll be enough nights where he does that he'll keep his average pretty high, but be ready for a roller coaster.
Yeah, I would still give him a slight overrating, but that's pretty consistent with my view on him, so it's clearly a bit biased because he's averaging 108 right now. At that price point, you need to be pretty damn confident where he's going to end up, and I don't understand how you'd be pretty damn confident considering he has never done it before. And purely off that logic, I go overrated. But when you look at his scores, maybe I'm missing something there. So, all right, that wraps up this week's show. Thanks very much for coming on for a very crucial week, gents, and all the best for your decision-making this week.
I felt the pressure this week. Thanks for having us on.
All right, and with that, we'll sign off for the week. Thanks, gents. See ya.
Thanks.
See ya, bye. Yeah.